Our buddy Carlo Colaiacovo from the morning show will join us in about 10 minutes. And the NHL is still waiting on that official signing, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, when are they going to get this thing done? The return to play and CBA, it's got to be linked for whatever reason. They've come to that conclusion. And I will say there's no new news in terms of the hub cities. So I think we're locked in there. I think it's Toronto and Edmonton. And it's just a matter of timelines now.
It's just the timelines. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's some optimism that they're talking about August 1st to start it all off. I mean, actual game action, Hayes. How about that?
Yeah, maybe actually playing. And we were thinking about this today. There's a couple of lists that we're going to get to, our own lists. We're going to do a Blue Jays one later this afternoon. We will get to the Raptors and who they fear in the East. We started talking about Siakam in the last segment, so we pushed that back. But there's 24 teams still playing.
Yep.
In the NHL. That's a boatload of players, some very high-end players. We figured we'd go back and forth, three forwards, two defensemen, one goalie. If we could pick basically one line and a goalie that we would want on our teams for this run, this is who it would be. So you've got 12 teams in the East to pick from, 12 teams in the West to pick from, a lot of great players, and we figured we'd go back and forth on our list. Do you want to maybe kickstart your party with the three forwards, Dave? Why don't you tell us who you have up front, when you look at all these options, who you would take as a forward line and why?
I got my first forward, Hayes, is a guy that I feel just has incredible pent-up desire to get this done, to do something that he hasn't been able to do, and it's Nathan MacKinnon. And I looked at, you know, you look at a guy who's only had, you know, fairly brief experience in the playoffs, certainly briefer than he would like, and has been to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, with an Avalanche team that has been rebuilt out of the ashes of a bottom of the league team. So this is a guy who's always shown up in big moments, and I just love the idea of this guy playing in the playoffs. I think the Avalanche are a very dangerous team out west because of this guy.
I have MacKinnon as one of my three as well. For everything that you just issued, I also think his playoff performance has been nothing short of spectacular early into his career. He's only been there a couple of times. Remember his rookie year, they took Minnesota to seven, and he was lights out. I think it was his rookie year, maybe his second year. And last year, what he did to Calgary on his own, let alone what Rantanen brought, Landeskog brought, he was spectacular. I believe McDavid is the best player in the world. I think MacKinnon is number two.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a soft spot for Sid, who's still in the running. But if I'm building a team for the next decade, I'm taking McDavid one. I think I'm taking MacKinnon number two. He's that good. He's inspired. He's not going to win the heart, which I think drives him as well. But we interviewed him a couple weeks ago. This is a guy who hangs around with Sid.
Yeah.
It's a guy who works out with Sid and feeds off Sid. And he also works out and feeds off Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Out east.
Nova Scotia guys, yeah.
Yep, Brad's got a cup. He's been to three cup finals. He's got gold medals and all the good stuff. We all know Sid's resume. And MacKinnon made it very clear. Like, there's just, that's what it's all about. You got to win a cup to be taken seriously. Like, if you want to get up to the top of the levels of, you know, his history and legacy and all that kind of stuff, you got to get there. His drive, I think, as you pointed out, is through the roof, to say nothing of his talent. So, yeah, I would have MacKinnon as one of my three forwards as well. Who else do you have up front?
I'm going Crosby. I'm thinking, I know the kid is turning 33 next month on August the 7th, 8-7-8-7. But I just think if I'm thinking about, if I had to build a team for today to win in this playoffs right now, I can't think of a guy I'd want more. You know, like, I just believe in that legacy. I believe in that experience. And I still think the body is good enough. The speed's still there. The hands are still there. I haven't seen the fall off that you sometimes see in guys that get into their early 30s, perhaps because, as you point out, he's known for the legendary work ethic and the do whatever it takes kind of mentality to do whatever his body needs to be at its best. And I got Sid the Kid as my number two choice here.
Yeah, it's difficult to argue with Sid, and I was wavering, but I will go with McDavid. I will go with that next wave of generational talent because I think he is on the verge of doing something. Maybe he's already there with what he's done the last two or three years, but truly defining himself as the best player in the world. And there are going to be other guys that are going for the crown. His teammates going for the crown. I think Draisaitl will win the Hart this year. Sid is still in that conversation. McKinnon's in that conversation. But McDavid, I think, is just a step above and beyond. And everything we just said about McKinnon, I think, applies to McDavid. I think he realizes he's got to start dragging this team somewhere. He realizes he could be in a situation in 10 or 15 years to the one that Sid is currently in, where we're talking about him maybe knocking off guys on the all-time list that we always thought was impossible.
Yeah.
How dare you suggest someone's better than Gordie Howe? How dare you suggest someone's better than Mark Messier?
Yeah.
Well, that's where Sid is right now. He deserves to be in that conversation. McDavid might get there, but he's got to start winning.
Yeah.
He's got to start winning. So I think the drive is right there with McDavid. And I'll also take the younger legs. I'll take the youth. I'll take a guy who needs it more than Sid does. Sid may want it as much. He doesn't need it as much, and certainly not in these circumstances. You know, he's got his three cups. He had his three parades. He knows what that's all about. Does he need to go into a bubble and win in Edmonton and then go home and hang out by himself? I don't know. But I think McDavid would happily take it just simply because it adds to the resume.
Well,
the historical resume, the legacy. So I would go McDavid over Sid.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I love that. I love that point about need. But I wonder, like, some of these guys are so maniacal, and I think Sidney Crosby falls into that maniacal category of like hockey is everything to him, and he will do whatever it takes. Like,
well, I think that's true, but I think it applies to McDavid too. I think McDavid.
Well, we haven't seen
camp.
It though. Have we seen it?
His rehabbing is, like, look what he did to get back.
Yeah.
It was off the charts.
I believe I gave him a vote for the Masters in this year. I put him in my Masters ballot for that very reason, for sure.
That's a special breed right there. Like, he's not saying, I'm out of here. I'm not, you know, listen, Sid is a freak of nature. Like, there are famous stories of him working out, like, after the Cup parade.
Yeah.
You know, like going to the rink and working out and skating. Like, stuff like that. That's what you hear out of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and, you know, freaks of nature in the sporting world.
And that's what I mean. Like, you don't, like, did Michael Jordan need three more titles after he retired to play baseball?
No, but he's driven to. He wanted them. Yeah. He wanted them.
You know, does Tom Brady need to keep playing football? No, he doesn't. But he's somehow driven to continue to play football. And I think Sidney Crosby doesn't need another championship to cement his legacy, but he wants one badly.
Yep.
And I would not say his desire is any less than anybody's. In fact, I would suggest there's a lot of evidence that says he wants it quite a bit more than most guys.
Well, he's tasted that, right?
Yeah.
And then once you get it, man, you're pushing for it.
I know what it takes too, right? And you know exactly what it takes.
I'm not selling him short. Like he was on my short list, but I went with McDavid ahead of him. How do you wrap up the forward?
No, McDavid's my third guy.
Yeah, you got McDavid.
Yeah, I got McDavid.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the board because even though what I just said about Sid, you would think I'd say, well, I'll slide Sid in there. I'm going Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Marchand, I know people hate to hear it here in Toronto. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a great, great player who continues to get better. He's everything you want in a playoff performer because he puts up the numbers, like his points per game off the charts. He kills penalties. He's on the power play. No one is more hated. Nobody is more hated in this league than playing against Brad Marchand. And you know he's going to bring that to the bubble.
Yeah.
This guy will be chirping people in the hotel, like in the lobby, at the pool, at the ping pong table.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be bothering people. And he's despised here, which means you have to appreciate his greatness. He's a great, great player. He's a playoff performer. He brings everything to the table. So I would wrap up my three-pack up front with Brad Marchand.
I like that pick because, you know how there's like certain guys – that you just have no concern that they would ever disappear in a big moment.
They're showing up. He's
like,
going to be there.
Like, there are guys with incredible skill that you're not quite sure, right? They might disappear. Like, you may go 30 minutes in a biggest game of the season and not even notice him out there. Brad Marchand's not that guy.
No way.
That will never happen to this guy, right? And that's why I love this guy, and I like that pick.
Yeah. So there you go. I got those three up front. On the back end, I'll go quickly. I'll go with my two-pack. I go Victor Hedman. I think when he's healthy, he's the best defenseman in the league right now. I love his size, his style, the minutes he racks up. This guy will play 27, 28 minutes. Like, he's kind of a throwback. He's not as nasty as Pronger.
No.
But he's kind of got a vibe like Pronger. And he controls the play. When you look back on that Tampa Cup run, I think it was in 15 against Chicago, he was the best player of those playoffs. He was unbelievable. He's had some injury problems, but I would take Hedman. And I would go with Pietrangelo as well. I go Petro. Yeah, just because. Okay. And this might be recency bias, but I look at the way he performed last year. It's kind of a left side, right side thing. Veteran guy, all around type player, big minutes eater as well. But there's a lot of great options. But I would go Hedman and Petro if I'm looking at a team to play tonight.
See, I agree with you on Hedman. Like I'm a big Hedman guy, and I like the. If I'm picking Hedman, I like the aspect that he's got to be in his bonnet about losing last year, right?
Yep.
Like that whole team does. But I think he is the driver of that sort of that real angst and that anger that I think is going to make this team a very dangerous club to come against. So if I'm going to pair him with somebody, I'm going to pair him with a slightly more dynamic offensive guy, and I'm going to pair him with John Carlson.
Yep.
And because you look at John Carlson, like he's had this incredible season, regular season, you know, leading all defensemen in scoring and all that. But you look at his playoff numbers, man. He is by far the best playoff performer on the offensive side of the puck among defensemen of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. I mean, going back to that cup run in 2018.
Yeah, he is lights out. He was a guy on a short list. Josi was on a short list. I'm a big Seth Jones fan. I love Seth Jones. I think he is going to win a Norris someday. But, I mean, tons of great options.
Could be a tough one. Yeah, I'm with you. There are great options. There's a nice renaissance in D-men that are Norris Trophy worthy. And I think the Norris Trophy vote this year was very tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. Okay, goaltender. This one is really tough because this is the primary position. This is what you need. This one I battled with. I went back and forth on a number of guys. Who did you go with? Your one goalie of the 24 left.
If I had to pick one guy to win me one game right now, I'd pick Tuukka Rask.
Yep, same.
Did you?
I picked him too. Yep, we both went with Tuukka.
Okay.
Leaf fans may not want to hear it.
Nobody wants to hear it.
John Ferguson Jr. definitely doesn't want to. But how do you fight it? How do you fight what he's done?
That's the thing.
In the playoffs. And this year, he had a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
It's Tuukka.
He's like, it's amazing how... You know, there was a time not too long ago, not this season, but, you know, a season ago, you would have said maybe Braden Holtby. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time you might have said Andrei Vasilevskiy, although I think he's just too far.
He's got to prove it, though.
Yeah, he's got to prove it. There's a time you might have said, you probably wouldn't have said Sergei Bobrovsky, but you got to think he's due to prove it.
One of these Bishop's years. Great. You know, obviously,
Ben Bishop's been a great playoff goalie.
Yeah, he's been very good. And Bishop was a guy I thought of. Fleury's another guy I've thought of. You know, there's a bunch of good goalies. Carey Price is in, but honestly, I'm taking Tuukka. I'm taking Tuukka based on what he's done. And the run he had last year was phenomenal. So, there you go. We both share the same goalie. We both had Hedman. We both had McKinnon. We both had McDavid. I mean, that's not a surprise. We're talking the best players in the world that are going to be there. Do we have Carlos, Steve? Okay, here's our buddy from First Stop. You can hear him Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Carlo Koliakovo. We just went through our little draft there, and 3 forwards, 2 D, 1 goalie of all the players that are currently available going into this bubble. And we shared a lot of the same guys. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, but I listened to everything, boys.
Do you hear it? Anything that you want to chime in on? Anything that bothered you, you disagree with, agree with? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I do agree with McDavid, McKinnon. I think those are two, easy picks.
Right.
You know, McKinnon dominated in the playoffs last year. McDavid is McDavid. But, I like the Marchand pick because he's a guy... You know, shows up to big games and he knows where to be and knows where to go in the offensive zone. But Patrick Kane to me would be a guy on the left wing there.
Great
You talk about Stanley Cups and when's the I think the last time he was in the playoffs was the last time they won the Stanley Cup. So and he's a gamer. That's one guy that I would choose on my wing. I'm with you, Hayes, Hedman, and Petro. Petro to me last year in Game 7. I think played the best game I've ever seen a defenseman play in that moment. You talk about big game, big moment, and this is a guy that's a minute muncher. I think Hedman is the same thing. He doesn't have the resume of cups, but for a big game, I want that guy on my top blue line because of what he can do both offensively and defensively. But Tuukka Rask.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you can fight it all you want, man. Tuukka. Look at his resume. Look at what he's done in past years.
Yeah.
And maybe it is a little bit unfair to compare a guy who's been on such a great team with such a great system in front of him to a guy who's kind of he's winging it out there. But give us who you would take over Tuca in a game tonight. You had to win a game tonight based on the way they're playing right now. Not a Hart Trophy 3 years ago with Carey Price. Well, you can pick Carey if you want.
No, definitely not Carey Price. I don't trust him at all right now with the way he's playing. I'm going Vasilevsky, man.
Okay.
He's got the most talent, but he hasn't won anything.
You're right. He hasn't won anything, but you got to think he's due. And considering the number of games this guy plays during every regular season, is a lot, and maybe that's a wear and tear thing. He's coming in fresh right now. He's probably going to play every game in this type of playoff format. He's a stud in net, if you ask me. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people will agree that he's a stud. And yeah, he's got a lot to prove in playoffs, especially with the stinker that they put up last year, getting swept by Columbus. But I think a sleeper here is Jordan Binnington. I know it's only 1 year, but man, this guy was a star in big games for the Blues last year.
Yeah. Oh, listen, he won the Conn Smythe. He was the turning point. Like, as much as Craig Berube deserves a lot of credit, it didn't matter what Craig Berube was doing if they didn't have Binnington.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Binnington changed everything, and his attitude and his confidence and his play. And look how he performed the Game 7. He was off the – I mean, think about how tough that is. You're playing in Boston, Game 7 Cup Final, as a guy, 4 months ago, no one had ever heard of you before. And he just stood on his head in that first period. Remember that first period? Yeah. Boston was all over them.
Oh,
yeah, they had outshot him like 15-3 or something crazy like that. Yeah. And it was all Binnington.
And you can even go back to the second round when they played Dallas and went to Game 7.
Right.
Remember, Dallas was up 3-2 in that series. And the Blues had to go into Dallas and win Game 6. And then they came home and won Game 7 in double overtime. So if Jordan Binnington comes out and has another stellar playoffs, I mean, think about the resume he's creating himself in just two playoff appearances.
Well, if he does that, does he put himself at the front of the line as the starting goalie in 2022 when they're going to the Olympics now? Because we got to start mocking up our teams. And
see, Hayes, we had this discussion on our show yesterday because with the announcement of the Olympics being attached to the CBA. I think the starting goalie is going to have a lot to do with who the coach of that team is. Because if Mike Babcock is the coach of Team Canada, who do you think the starting goalie is going to be?
It's probably Carey Price.
There you go.
Yeah. Mike Babcock's not going to be the starting coach of his team.
Okay, but hold on a second. How can you be so sure of that? If Doug Armstrong is the GM of the team, why wouldn't Doug Armstrong take Mike Babcock again, knowing they've had so much success together in these tournaments?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I just think Mike Babcock's kind of run his course here, hasn't he? I mean, he may not.
You would think so, but you never know. In this hockey world, coaches get recycled all the time.
This was not a good year for Mike Babcock's reputation. Let's put it that way.
But it is a valid point, though. You take away the team aspect of it, which, I mean, it speaks for itself. He got run out of town. It was ugly. I don't know if he handled himself that well. In fact, I don't think he did at the end. He was giving it the old Mike Babcock does this, Mike Babcock says that. But his international resume is flawless.
Yes.
Like, he won in 2010. In 2014, there have been arguments made, and I am not a historian where I could do it. I can't reference 72, 76, 87 as well. But many people I've seen have suggested that team, the way they operated in 2014, is the best coach team in the history of the sport. Like, they put on an absolute clinic. They gave up... What was it, like three or four total goals?
Hey, beat Latvia 2-1, fellas. That's Mike Babcock hockey.
Yeah, I remember going on the radio carving them, and people were like, dude, they had 78 shots.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, but it's Latvia, man. It's 2-1. Like, what's going on with this team?
And wasn't that Merzlikins in net?
Yeah, it was Merzlikins.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It was great.
What about Sid in 2026? He's going to be there in 2 years. You know that. He'll have the C on his jersey. He's playing to play a prominent role. But what about, 6 years down the road when he's pushing 39?
39.
Do you think he'll still be playing? And you think he'll be in contention for that Canadian team?
I mean, knowing Sid the Kid and, the priorities that he sets to play the game of hockey, you would have to think he's going to be, quite the competitor at that age, too, with the way he prepares and the way he trains and how mentally focused he is. I think if he's anything, or if he's still a contributing factor for the Pittsburgh Penguins, you'd have to think 100%. So he's a lock for that team.
Maybe not. He won't be the main guy by then.
No.
Like, I'm not sure. I think in 2 years it'll be McDavid's team.
For sure.
You know, Sid will be the captain, and Sid will play a big role, I would think. But I would assume at that point it's McDavid time, and everything's running through him in terms of, you know, it's he's playing the most minutes.
I don't think there's any question.
Right. And then even it's even more so in 2026 when McDavid will be in his late 20s and likely dominating. What about Tavares in 2 years? Can you guys picture a scenario where John Tavares is – because I think Marner's going to be in the running. I think he'll probably – If the team was made today, I think Marner would likely make the Canadian team. I think Morgan Rielly, even though he had a down year, I think would still likely make the team. And I think both those guys will be there in 2022 unless their games just fall off a cliff. Tavares, I don't know if he'll be there in 2 years. He will not be there in six. Like, there's no way he's mid-30s and still making a run at that. I just can't picture it. But well, in 2 years,
I think I agree with you, Hayes. I mean, you also have to look at, you know, where the game is trending. The game is trending younger, faster, and if you're playing on Olympic ice, that doesn't necessarily suit a John Tavares type of game with you know, his skating ability. I mean, obviously his smarts and his scoring ability and his playmaking ability will put him in the conversation, but you know, it all depends on how they want to build the team. You know, if you're building with skill and speed and youth, then he's probably not a guy that you would consider.
Yeah, well, you look at it. I mean, you look at the depth chart at center. I mean, it's McDavid, it's McKinnon, it's going to be Crosby. So he's fourth line center at best, right? I mean, and then you're going to have a lot of younger guys making the case.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's not forget Alexis Lafreniere. I mean, I made the argument that he might be on the team in 2 years.
You never know.
Right.
Well, 2 years is a long time, right? Like, if you get
think about where he could possibly end up if he ends up on a really good team. Like, this guy will be putting up points with his eyes closed.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like, you look back on 2010, I think Doughty had been in the league for 2 years.
Yes.
And made
he
that
was.
Team. And I don't think Jonathan Toews had been in the league long either, but he made a big enough impact where they're like, we got to have this guy playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are all-time great Hall of Fame guys. I don't know if Lafreniere can get to that level, but 2 years is a long time for younger players, guys who are just stepping in, to develop and grow and push people out.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll guarantee you, if you went back to 2008 and projected the 2010 team, you'd be shocked. I'll bet you 25% turnover, if not more. And same thing in 2014. All of a sudden, guys show up. Like, Jamie Benn shows up, and you're like, okay, well, this guy's on the team.
Yeah.
Like, he's
well,
Chris
Kunitz. Not have him on. Chris Kunitz. He's connected.
Right?
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Kunitz one was the old – yeah, that was a strange one, right? When that was the old, who's going to play with Sid? We better bring him somebody that he can play with or who knows how to play with him. But I think they can figure that one out, right, in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think
well, and the other thing, too, is it's almost like the way they built the World Cup team. You want to have, you know, role-defined players, right? You can't have top-line guys on all four lines. I mean, that's – you could with Canada and the talent, but – you want to have somewhat of a checking line, right?
Well, so maybe you need guys maybe that can at least kill penalties, guys that can
absolutely.
Win draws. You know, these are all things that the fantasy GMs might throw out the window. But Hockey Canada has proven they put an emphasis on it at times to their own peril. Sometimes they go too far, you know, and I think that caught up to them in 98, and they get caught up to them in 06, where they had guys on the team that had no right to be on the team. Like, we're legitimate third or fourth line guys on their own team. It's like, well, you know, as much as I like Chris Draper, do we need this? Do we need Rob Zamner?
Yeah, Zamner's the one that stood out, right?
It was like that guy's literally like a third or fourth line guy that just plays defensive hockey. I think you can get a high-end talent to be smart enough to
buy
rely
into
on.
That.
Yeah, but, you know.
And there's always that. You always have guys like – we're sort of talking centermen, right? But how many times does a centerman move over to the wing on a team like this?
All
right?
the time.
Yeah. You can always interchange guys that are that good.
For sure.
Well, that's why I love to see. Like, the duo I want to see more than anything is McKinnon with McDavid.
Right.
Yes.
Like, that's – forget McKinnon and McDavid both playing center. Knock one of them over to the wing. And now you got the third guy. Good luck. That guy will have an oxygen tank trying to catch up with these guys.
Good luck.
Yeah, imagine being the third guy. You're like, no, I'm good. I'll just play back here.
Yeah.
You know, is Jumbo still on the team? Let me just
cruise
around.
But that's where you talk about Sid at a 39-year-old, right? You put Sid in the middle of the ice between those two. Sid could be the responsible one.
Yeah, or your answer for a fourth line guy. Like now we're leapfrogging an Olympic games, and we're into the 2026 games, but that could be an example. A guy that he's as responsible as anyone that's ever played. You know exactly what you're getting. You tell him, listen, Sid, we need 10 minutes out of you tonight, and we're going to plug you on the fourth line, win some draws, kill some penalties, and I could see that being the case. Like, I don't picture him being a focal point in six years. I'm not sure where he's going to be in two. Because, 2 years is a lot on both ends of the spectrum for young players to develop and grow and for older players to fall off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Sid's not going to disappear. He's not going to turn into something that is just unrecognizable. But in 2 years, could he be outside of the top 10 or 15 players in the world? That's plausible.
Yeah,
could be the case. You know, there could be – it could be McDavid McKinnon's team. It could be, you know, Shifley ahead of him in terms of the depth chart. And, I mean, there's a number of guys. And Canada's going to be in the running, and we're going to be talking about this for 2 years. But the Americans are going to be there too. I mean, we've talked about that all week, and I know you guys have talked about that on the morning show. Like, they're loaded, man. This is the best mock lineup of an American team I've ever witnessed, even better than those teams in the 90s that were loaded with talent.
For sure. And you just look at the NHL draft last year. I think they had 18, or it was in the teens of the number of players that were drafted in the first round from their development program.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right?
So you got to think most of those guys are going to be players and contributors probably in 2 years or 6 years for sure.
For sure. Yeah, that's where they're trending. All right.
I hate to put you guys on the spot here, but did you guys discuss coaches who would possibly be coaching Canada?
We haven't, and it's, you know what, the Babcock, I don't think Babcock is going to do it. I think they'll move on from him. I think it'll be, you know, and if I'm Mike Babcock, I'm not sure I want to do it. I've got a perfect resume at the Olympics. Yeah. What do I need to mess with that right now? but it's a good question.
Is John Cooper a front runner?
Cooper would be a front runner.
I said Pete DeBoer. Pete DeBoer would be a front runner as well, too, I think.
Yeah.
I would imagine he's going to have good success coaching Vegas. Who knows what John Cooper's future is? Like, what happens if Tampa, you know, fails again this year?
I mean, Barry Trotz has won a heck of a lot of games.
Quinville never comes up.
Yeah,
Quinville's never, like, he's been on the staff before, but he's never been the guy running
the bench. Dave Tippett could put himself in the running too.
How about Bruce Cassidy down in Boston? Yeah. Look what he's done. He doesn't have that name recognition up here yet, because he's, you know, kind of came and went in terms of head coaching jobs in the NHL, but look at the performance he's put on in Boston. That's not going to be a problem. It'll be a staff by committee. It'll be loaded.
The only thing about Cassidy Hayes is usually they have guys that, like, coach at world championships and into the program a couple times. I don't know if Cassidy has that much experience doing that, but who knows? I mean, if he continues, you know, to put up wins and, you know, keeps improving his resume with playoff wins and maybe Stanley Cup appearances, it might change.
Yeah, you never know. Sure. You know, and if it's Doug Armstrong, maybe Craig Berube.
Yeah, that's another guy, too.
You know, like, coaches is not – that's not going to be an issue, man. Uh-huh. If you get a competent coach, which they will peg, the amount of talent they have, coaching should not be either stops you or pushes you over the top. You know, it's going to be the players.
You could coach that team, Hayes.
I mean, as goofy as it sounds, you give me – if I'm flanked by a couple of great coaches with that kind of talent, we should be able to figure it out.
100%. Anybody but Willie Desjardins, please.
Oh, man.
Willie cannot be included.
Him and his whiteboard.
Yeah, not acceptable at this point.
Dave, I gotta ask, is that a golfer's tan, or is that a serious bronzer you're wearing?
I'm just swarthy, Carlo. I'm just very swarthy. Mediterranean, let's say.
Yeah, you That's are impressive, always, man. He is always like glazed in, like, the summer, Dave. You seriously got a tan going, dude.
No, like,
you
I always try. It's weird because I put sunscreen on religiously, but the one day I don't do it, I get like this. It's occupational hazard.
It's not a chirp, man. I wish I had some
Me
sort
too,
of bronze
man.
Going.
I burn.
I'm a pasty. Yeah, it's brutal. I do too. I have two shades. I'm either pasty or red. Burnt, and then it just fades away, and I'm back to being a pasty again. There's very, very little alternative available for me. Anyway, first up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday right here on TSN Radio. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this. We'll hear you Monday
Anytime,
morning.
Boys. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Carl.
Can't wait for sports to come back.
Yeah, it's coming back, man. Sports in the air.
It's exciting.
Here. All right, buddy.
Exciting.
We'll talk
right,
to you.
Man. Take care, boys.
There he is, Carlo Koliakovo again. First up, 6 a.m. through 10 a.m. With Landsberg and Koliakovo.